Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. The authority that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God, is based upon the Word of God. We know the origin. It is the Holy Spirit who moved those holy men to write that more sure word which is written. And since the Apocrypha has an unknown origin, we don't need it. We don't put our faith in it. Now, it may be of interest for you all to know that the King James Version of 1611 is absolutely identical, less the Apocrypha, which was there, but it was clearly marked that it was not to be considered part of the Holy Bible. But that 1611, and I've got one, and I have checked it and studied it personally, that 1611 King James Version is identical to your King James Version. Now, I've heard people say that that old 1611 is more somehow valuable in spiritual warfare. No, brethren, it's a lie. I'll tell you this. I don't need no Apocrypha in my sword. My sword is not one bit sharper if it has an Apocrypha. In fact, it's much sharper if it doesn't. Now, one of the things that you'll find when you look at a 1611 King James Version Holy Bible, they had no letter J back in 1611. So Jesus would become Jesus. And often the U is a V or a V is a U, such as give would become you, and ever would become eur, and unto would become buntu, and favor would become fayur. And very often you'll find that the Y becomes an IE, such as in mercy would have an IE at the end of it instead of a Y. And many words have an extra E at the end. But other than that, you would very quickly see that the 1611 King James Version Holy Bible is word for word and letter for letter with the King James Version Holy Bible that you have. And I can testify to you, and I've read enough of the 1611 King James Version Holy Bible and done enough tests and comparisons to completely be satisfied that the 1611 King James Version Holy Bible is exactly the same as all of the King James Version Holy Bibles that I have marked up and worn out and given out over the years. Hallelujah. God has been faithful to preserve His Word and purify it 7 times. And brethren, we have rock-solid faith based upon the integrity of the Word of the God who cannot lie. Hallelujah. And God honors His Word above all His name, brethren. And we thank God that we have a Holy Bible that has not changed since 1611. And anybody that says it has, a liar. There is no change of substance, no revisions. Anybody that says otherwise is a liar. And they're a very special class of liar if they would claim to be a scholar and say such things. The King James Version Holy Bible is the only Bible that's sprinkled by the blood of the martyrs. And it has stood the test of almost 400 years to prove what Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. For I am the Lord," it says in Malachi 3. "I change not, and therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Hallelujah. Brethren, we have a rock solid foundation. What can you do that'll make a difference 100 years from now? Read the word. Study the word. Get to know the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth personified, and his name is called the Word of God. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." The teaching of the glory of Messiah is the greatest threat to the host of hell. Satan's minions will do anything to prevent the teaching of that mystery of the ages, Messiah in you, the hope of glory. Men of wisdom know that the teaching on the glory of Messiah without the firm, reinforced foundation of the fear of God will set people up to crash and burn. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. All of us are vain creatures, and only the fear of God can break that pride and self-will such that any of us may be able to walk in the glory of Messiah. We need to understand now that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Apart from the fear of God, you will not be able to walk in the glory of Messiah, in his authority. God knows the intents of the heart, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Yes, we are proud, vain, ignorant sinners. That's the truth, brethren. And the wise teacher will lay the foundation of the fear of God. And he will also give meekness tests. Yeshua often did it. Any of those demonstrating the depravity of vanity and self-will and rebellion in their judgment or failure to recognize the call of God will not be able to stand the heat and will not remain. They will separate themselves. And we can become so far removed from the fear of God that when God meets among us, or the word of God is heard which produces faith, that we take it as a light thing. We are irresponsible with it. We are living in a society that is casual, and very often respect is lost. And lack of respect for the call is a lack of respect for the called, and it's a lack of respect for the one who did call. And there's a danger associated with the lack of respect of the call of God. Don't become casual with God-ordained authorities that he has placed to give us his directions. And do you know what makes the prophet or the elder or the pastor different from everybody else in the room? The difference is the call of God on his life. And God has put that call on that man. The call of God should be respected. And with our casualness, we throw out that sense of the fear of God. And it's not just casualness. Often, what it really is self-will and rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Revelation 3:19, Jesus says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain, from his quarter. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, like once saved, always saved. Pre-trib la la land. Howl, you shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in ashes, you principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and you shall fall like a pleasant vessel, and the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. Yet in the days, in the last days, in the days that we're living now, God promised, brethren, God promised that he would raise up faithful shepherds and men of wisdom and understanding to lead many to righteousness. Do not fail to recognize and respect the call of God on these men. And unless we are under authority, brethren, we cannot be in authority. And this understanding is vital as the Spirit of God brings the body of Messiah into unity. That kind of unity that we see in the book of Acts, and the kind of unity that we have got to strive for in these last days. So that our faith would not be in words or in the wisdom of men, but in power. Jeremiah 23, strong chapter. He says, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Hallelujah. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Take to you wise men, and understanding, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. And they that be wise, Daniel said in chapter 12, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Where are these faithful shepherds, brethren? Where are these men of wisdom and understanding who will lead many to righteousness? Brethren, it's a great joy for me to tell you that you just might be it. This much I can tell you. They are now being raised up. And they're not likely to be studs and duds. They'll be fishermen, fishers of men. Yeah, they won't rejoice that those dirty sinners are going to get what they deserve. No. They're going to seek to rejoice with the angels in heaven. They're going to be fishers of men. They will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And they'll recognize you don't separate the Word and the Spirit. The Spirit is always glorifying, lifting up, confirming, and affirming the Word. They will recognize the reproof of life as an excellent oil, brethren. Mark it down. It will not be by their might or their power, but by the Spirit of the living God, by the Spirit of the one who calls. And by this same Spirit of the one who calls, we will recognize those who are called. And they will understand and walk in the fear of God. Meekness tests, brethren, serve a real good function in the body of Christ. They serve to separate the sheep from the goats. Many shall cleave with flatteries in these last days, brethren. But a meekness test? It's a test of the Spirit. Meekness is the ability to endure insult without retaliation. And if they do not have the Holy Ghost, what they're going to do is they're going to choose to separate. Now look careful at what Jude 19 tells you. And you better have a Holy Bible, not one of these perversions, because the perversions really pervert this one. And nobody ever preaches on Jude. But Jude 19 is something that real Christians do not do. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. By separating themselves, they prove their feigned affection and lack of genuine love. the body is not harmed by their separation because they are no longer feigning affection for those within the body. You see? They use flatteries. They creep in. They are no longer having men's persons in respect within the body because of advantage. If you can receive it, meekness tests are one way that God prunes the body to raise up a perfect bride without spot or wrinkle. And we see that even the 12 apostles had their faith shaken by the hard words that Yeshua gave them. Oh, he gave them some meekness tests, brethren. Oh, yes, he did. When asked if they too would go away, they knew there was no place else to go. Hard words truly separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be convicted of sin. And this godly sorrow will lead them to repentance. The goats will choose to take offense and separate and rebel and confirm that the spirit they have is not the Holy Spirit. The true prophet cries out for repentance. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Look at the purpose of prophecy. It's a spiritual gift within the body of Christ. All prophecy, Paul tells us in 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one that is unlearned, he's convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Do you understand that he hath made us, past tense, he hath made us priests and kings unto God? That's past tense, brethren. It's a done deal. What happened to King Saul should be an admonishment for all of us. Saul had been called. He had been anointed. He had been crowned king. He had done many mighty works to advance that kingdom. God ordained, God anointed. But guess what? He was rejected by God. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Do you know what it means to hearken? And to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Brethren, this is a serious word. Because you see, all of us have been made kings unto God. I won't read it again because it's so profoundly important in this time in particular. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. The prophet confirmed the call and anointed the king. The prophet could give righteous judgment. The prophet could give direction of the Lord for the king to lead the people of God. Remember how David regarded the call and anointing of the fallen and rejected king? David would not allow an unsubmitted thought toward Saul. Even after David had been called, chosen, and anointed by the prophet to replace that fallen and rejected king, David would not regard an unsubmitted thought. He would not allow an unsubmitted thought toward Saul, even after David himself had been called, chosen, and anointed by the prophet to replace that fallen and rejected king. Brethren, David knew God. David was a man after God's own heart. And God himself testified to that about David. And don't let anybody ever tear down David before you. Because if God said, there is a man after his own heart, when the Word of God says, this is a man after my own heart, don't let anybody try to wave his sins in your face. Don't allow it, brethren. You got to stand on these things. Brethren, we cannot fail to recognize the call of God on the man of God. If we do, brethren, it's serious. I'm just going to tell you, don't fail to respect the call of God. You see, when we're submitted to God, we can resist the devil, and he will flee us from us. But being in submission to God means that by the Spirit of God, we will recognize the call of God upon those whom God associates us with. And failing to recognize and respect that call of God leads to destruction, brethren. We've seen it. We submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Brethren, there's one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have got to know by the Spirit our place within the body. And if we get out of that place, if we fail to recognize the call of God on others as well as we would recognize the call of God upon ourselves, we're not going to be in submission to God. We obey those whom God has called to care for His church, and we follow them as they follow Messiah. And we cannot be in authority, brethren, unless we are under authority. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, our authority is based upon the Word of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. That is fullness of authority, brethren. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Yes, indeed. That is fullness of authority. And as we continue to look into this mystery of the ages, Messiah in us, the hope of glory, we don't want to forget how important it is for us to continue to strengthen and reinforce that foundation of the fear of God. You see, this is why people fall. And oh, it's so sad when you see them falling nowadays. Brethren, the fear of God is learned. The Word of God tells us that over and over again. It's very clear that the fear of God is learned. And none of us have enough of the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. And that's the only treasure really worth going after now. Isaiah 33:6, the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Hallelujah. And Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the I Am, who is come in the flesh, said that is so. The Lord Jesus Christ said so. Hallelujah. The submitted disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are given authority over all the power of the enemy. Yeshua's power is given for the glory of the Father in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Yeshua. The keys of the kingdom of heaven are given by the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples, His disciplined ones. And these keys of binding and loosing, of remitting or retaining, are not the property of the Pope and apostate churchdom. Matthew 16:19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, truly, this is the truth from the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Word of God, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you see here, brethren? Do you see what Yeshua tells us? that he will give his true followers the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys, brethren, what are the keys? Let me tell you, the keys are doctrine and discipline, hearing and doing. Those are the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Doctrine and discipline, hearing and doing. The discipline of Messiah is what it's all about. You see, a disciple of Messiah is a disciplined one. He reads his word, he hears his word, he does his word. And all true disciples have the keys of doctrine and discipline. Their doctrine comes only from the Word of God, only from Scripture. That's the only place they get their doctrine. And their lives are ordered only by the Scripture. Their lives show what is acceptable to God and what is not acceptable to God according to the Scriptures. Do we understand the binding and loosing that Yeshua is talking about here? Binding and loosing. Now, what it meant in the common speech of the Jews at that time deals with what is lawful and unlawful. To declare something was unlawful was to bind, and to declare something was lawful was to loose. In all matters of binding and loosing, what is lawful or unlawful, the true disciple's only guide is the written word of God. Do you see what's so bad about going after religious stuff and the doctrines and teachings of the rabbis? Brethren, you can't be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ like that. The purpose of the keys of doctrine and discipline is to help the true disciple with his desire to be acceptable and pleasing to God, to make Yeshua Lord, to be in full submission to him. And then, and only then, brethren, do we walk in his authority for his glory, and then, brethren, we witness the glory of the mystery of the ages. Hallelujah. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Most people do not walk in this mystery of the ages because they do not walk in submission to God. They don't walk in his commandments. Yes, all 10 of them. They do not bring into submission their vanity and pride and self-will. They won't do it. They can't do it. They remain in double-mindedness. They remain in selfishness, in covetousness, or rebellion, while they're trying to walk in submission to God. And brethren, that's double-minded. And you know what happens? It makes them unstable in all their ways. A true disciple of Yeshua wants to please God rather than men. And he knows that he has been redeemed. He knows it. He knows that he's been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He knows he's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He knows he's a sinner, sure enough. But he knows he's been redeemed. Past tense. And he wants to please God more than himself, because he has received and he understands the love of God. And he will be disciplined by the Scriptures in word and his deeds. The spiritual man will exercise the godly character of good and right judgment. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The church is the body of Christ, the true believers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the keys of scriptural doctrine and discipline will reject that which is unrighteous from the church. And these keys were not given to any particular church, but they were given to all who believe and who live to make Yeshua both Savior and Lord of their life. Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And this verse makes it clear that the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the authority to bind and loose, were not just given to Peter. The keys tell of locking or unlocking to illustrate authority in binding or loosing. The question of how sins are forgiven is raised in that meaning of binding and loosing. John, oh man, did he give us something. 1 John, First Epistle of John, is where I always want to take somebody that just wants to come and repent and be a child of God and get born again. I always take him to 1 John. 1 John 5:16, brethren, what a great memory verse. You talk about some power here. 1 John 5:16, hope you can grab hold of it. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. What is the sin unto death? Taking the mark of the beast. That's the only unpardonable sin that I know of. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Brethren, pray about that verse in 1 John 5:16. Shout me down if the Word of God does not say that we do literally have the power of intercession through forgiveness to literally snatch souls of the brethren from the jaws of hell. Shout me down. Now, if this powerful verse does not tell us that whosoever shall have been forgiven on earth shall be forgiven in heaven. Brethren, that is a powerful verse. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, brethren, one thing we still have to understand is that God limits himself in regard to man's freedom to choose and man's freedom to will. But, brethren, we need each other, and we need to stand in the gap for one another. And that's a powerful verse and a powerful promise for those who are walking in true submission to God. And when Jesus taught us to pray in Luke 11, he said, "And forgive us our sins." Do we pray like this? "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And in Matthew 6, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Heaven sets the standards, brethren, and earth follows heaven's lead. Brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to walk in forgiveness. Brethren, it is impossible to walk in forgiveness and unforgiveness at the same time. There is nothing more sure to break the positional authority that we have seated with the Lord Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand, seated with him by his Spirit. Nothing will break that position of highest authority like unforgiveness. And brethren, the first person we got to forgive is ourself. And we must forgive our brethren. It is not optional. And if we truly have received mercy from God, we will bound to be merciful. When we lay our head on that pillow, if we can think of anybody that we don't want to see in the kingdom of heaven, brethren, we ain't going to make it ourselves. It's just that simple. We are called to walk in forgiveness, and you cannot walk in forgiveness and unforgiveness at the same time. It is the responsibility of believers to have a forgiving spirit and to teach the conditions of forgiveness. Okay? In John 20:23, Jesus said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Brethren, in this time, we come upon people who have made a willful choice to rebel. And that's sad. But still, Jesus said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." And this means that we are to proclaim the way of salvation. And those who accept him are forgiven, but those who reject him are condemned. Binding and loosing is determined by the hearer's response, brethren. It's sad, but it's true. Binding and loosing is determined by the hearer's response. They must freely choose life. They must freely choose life in Christ Jesus or hell. It's their free choice. Sins have been washed or loosed by the blood of Jesus and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Brethren, do you understand that it's impossible to forgive and to walk in that role of priest that the Lord gives us authority to walk in if we're covetous? I'm going to say it again. Because we're living in a culture of covetousness. We need to understand, brethren, that it's impossible to forgive and to walk in that role of priest that the Lord gives us authority to walk in if we're covetous. It's this simple. The most godly thing that any of us can do is to forgive. And if we can overcome the vanity and the spirit in us that lusts to envy and not be covetous or rebellious, then we can walk and function as the priests that the Lord Jesus Christ hath made us to be. Past tense. Done deal, brethren. According to the Word of God, the Pope has no special authority over the Church, and Yeshua hates that Nicolaitan spirit of priestcraft that's behind popery. There is no Church that is made special or has any kind of unique authority in dealing with man's spiritual life. The only Church with true spiritual power and authority is a Church that is founded on the finished work of Yeshua the Messiah. If a man or a state is the head of a church, it can have no real, true spiritual power and authority. And Yeshua, and only Yeshua, must be the head of any church for that church to have true spiritual power and authority. And this is what's so wrong with this 501c3 contract that many churches have with the states. That contract removes the salt and light. You see, that contract puts the Lord Jesus Christ, by written contract, in a position where he cannot be Lord of those churches. They are state churches. The only way he's Lord is in a virtual way. Now, some are still performing in this manner, but there's a contract, and there's a payday coming for them. You see, such churches, sooner or later, are going to lose the keys of the kingdom of heaven. They've really lost them already, only most of them don't know what they've really signed on to. But what they've done is they've lost the keys of the kingdom of heaven for a tax break contract with the state. They have no authority. Sort of like Esau selling his birthright for a bowl of pottage. And it's sad because the majority of them don't realize what they've actually done. The Nicolaitan spirit of priestcraft that's behind popery is something that Yeshua hates. And I can think of only two things to say to anybody that's caught up in a religion in which any man believes his word is better or even equivalent to the word of God. Come out of her. And from such withdraw thyself. The true church is made of those who have humbled and submitted themselves, making Yeshua Lord in deed and truth. Only Yeshua can be the head of any true church with the true spiritual power and authority, because it only comes from him. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Yeshua Messiah. And behold, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. The second beast is that great whore, apostate religious system, which works with the Antichrist political and economic system. The great whore is an apostate religious system. The false prophet will be the head of the largest religious group in the world, and he will lead people to worship the Antichrist and to take the mark of the beast. And all who take that mark of the beast in their right hand or their forehead will, according to Revelation 14:11, spend eternity in hell. That is the unpardonable sin. That is the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That is the sin unto death, brethren. Receiving the mark of the beast, we do not pray for anyone who receives that mark. That sin is unto death and hell. Don't take the mark. Don't receive the mark, no matter what. And if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherein cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Hallelujah. All glory to God. By what authority? Brethren, by the authority of the Word of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. That, brethren, is fullness of authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Oh, and yet, we still do mourn, don't we, brethren? Yeah, we do mourn. Because we look and we see this evil Antichrist beast system so quickly rising up. But you know what, brethren? We don't feel hopeless, do we? No, no. And we don't feel helpless either. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. We've got a choice there. And we're not going to let our heart be troubled, are we? Because the Lord Jesus Christ commanded it. Let not your heart be troubled. And we do not feel that we have no power. On the contrary. For you see, and we do see it, brethren, God is pouring out mighty anointings on his faithful. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. God is doing such a mighty and quick work for those few people who will make that absolute commitment to trust and obey his word. God said so. God said so. That's the highest reality. More real than anything I can see. More real than anything I can touch. God said so. And brethren, we're seeing it. He is in them now, literally restoring the years that the locust and the canker have taken away. We're seeing literal, walking, living, breathing fulfillments of Joel 2:25. And the whole issue, brethren, is can we, with childlike faith, grab hold by faith of the fact and reality of what it means when we know that God said so. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Keep him at the forefront of your mind all the time, praying always, walking in the light of his commandments. Examine yourself by checking, is the Lord Jesus Christ pleased with this thought and this intent of my heart? And above all, we've got to read his word, the Holy Bible. Brethren, that's the only way we can look at the intent of our heart. God knows it. We don't. You see, to look at the intent of our heart, we've got to separate the soul from the spirit. And there's only one thing that can do that. Only the Word of God can separate the soul and the spirit to allow us to look at that intent of the heart. We've got to read His Word. We've got to read the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing. That's why. Faith cometh by hearing. God said so. We've got to know what God said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith, brethren. Faith. Faith. That's what we need. Faith. It's all about faith, brethren, from now on. I tell you, when he returns, he will avenge us speedily. But his heart cried, brethren, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Brethren, we got to keep coming out of the world and its traps. And for those who will not give up the worldly traps, they're going to end up perishing on that broad way to destruction. Romans 2:4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Brethren, the prosperity gospel is the height of religious reprobation. Perverse disputings of men, says in 1 Timothy 6:5. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. They wouldn't know the truth if it hit them head on. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Revelation 18:4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. We know that the way is straight and narrow, and few find it and stay on it. Brethren, you will make it if you put God first. You will make it if you just really cleave and cling to our Savior, King Jesus, with all your might, with everything that's in you, with all your strength. You will make it if you love God with all your being and will just put Him first. You will make it if you reach out and love others. Look around you and put the main thing the main thing, and keep the main thing the main thing. All that you see around you will soon be gone, brethren. All the money that people think is security, one of these days soon, it's going to be worthless, brethren. What can we do today that'll make a difference 100 years from now? What can I do to please you, Lord Jesus, this day? How may I be a blessing to someone in your name, Lord Jesus? Keep your heart set on being a blessing to others. Keep that focus outward, brethren. Don't let it focus in. No, keep looking outward. Keep your heart set on being a blessing to others in the name of Jesus. Keep your heart set on things above. And do not let your heart be troubled. Don't allow it. Even though we do know that this Antichrist beast world government and economic and religious system plans to make us a slave of the devil, to seal hell as our destiny, or kill us, we're still not going to let our heart be troubled. Why? They don't know what we knew. They don't know what we know, brethren, do they? They don't know our big brother. Glory to God. And if they don't know our big brother, Yeshua, they cannot know our Father. They do not know that their plan and threat to kill us is a threat to send us to heaven. Hallelujah. They think that killing us is a threat to make us to submit to this Antichrist beast. We know all they're going to do, the worst they can do, is send us to heaven. That's the worst they can do to us. Isn't that something? The worst they can do to us is send us to heaven to be with the saints who have gone on before us. Hallelujah. We don't die, brethren. No. We don't fight fear at all. No, we don't, brethren. We don't fight fear at all in this Antichrist war of the saints. The threat to kill us is a threat to send us to heaven to be with our Lord. That's the biggest stick they can swing at us, and it's a toothpick. Hallelujah. Our God's bigger than their God. Our God whipped their God any old time. Glory to God. Ah, brethren, the task at hand is simply to choose to do what Jesus said and not to let our heart be troubled. And that's a lot easier if we can keep the focus outward to help others, to reach out in love, and to reach out to the people that are lost and hurting. And soon people are going to need our love more than ever. But if we're caught up in ourselves, brethren, there's no way that if we're caught up in ourselves or in material stuff, there's no way that we're even going to be able to help ourselves, much less anybody else. So we got to learn this fear of God, and that's His treasure. Isaiah 33:6. Keep that. Isaiah 33:6. If you haven't got it memorized, memorize it. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Keep that foundation of the fear of God strong. And know that God sees every deed. He sees every move we make. Know that God hears every word. And know that God knows every thought we think. The Lord knows the intents of our heart. And brethren, here's the good news. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear Him. Hallelujah. You see, because if we've learned and strengthened that foundation of the fear of God, and then we just concentrate on who we are in Christ Jesus. We are seated with Him at the Father's right hand through His Holy Spirit of truth. And He is not ashamed to call us His brethren if our heart is set to do the will of the Father. And then He, by the price of His blood, has given us the spirit of adoption whereby we can call His Father our Father, and we can have positional authority in Messiah. Hallelujah. And brethren, this is a big part of the deceitfulness of sin. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. We have positional authority as kings and priests in Him, as we will do His will, as we will to do His will, not our self-will. And brethren, do not let sin and iniquity separate you from God. And that is the choice, to sin or to be in Messiah. And we have the power of the Holy Ghost to be holy, to stop sinning, to do His commandments, and to know His will and purpose for us in Him. Brethren, I is the first letter of iniquity. Iniquity is the only thing that's going to keep anybody out of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is going to be 100% full of sinners. All sinners. Redeemed sinners, sure enough. But no workers of iniquity. I is the first letter of iniquity. Self-will, sin, iniquity takes you out of His will and out of that positional authority that we have in Him. And those people who are working for Lucifer by design or by default or ignorance or willing ignorance, they may have some power of force of these ungodly and unlawful laws, but brethren, they do not have authority. And this is going to become evident when we're brought before their judges and governors and kings for Jesus' sake. for a testimony against them. We will speak with authority. And who really has authority in the midst of a demon-possessed world? Brethren, think about it. When the whole world around us is demon-possessed and we're full of the Holy Ghost, who really has authority in that situation? You see, if we look at how Jesus taught us to pray, it really is simple. I mean, it's real simple. God only has one answer to prayer. Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. See, it's not about prayer, it's about answered prayer. The question really is very simple. Will God, our Father, hear our prayer? Father, yeah, Father, we get to call Him our Father. And there ain't no more highly privileged name than Father. Avinu, Abba, Father. Hallelujah, what a privilege, brethren. If He will hear our prayer, it's a done deal. See, we know absolutely nothing is impossible for Him except to lie. God cannot lie. So the whole key to prayer is our position in Christ. Do we know our place in the body of Messiah? Do we understand our call, our place, our position, our work, our duties in the body of Messiah? Do we see and know the call and work and position of others in the body of Messiah? What can you do? You can help serve somebody. You can help somebody. You can serve somebody. You can bless somebody. You can pray for somebody other than yourself. Are you still breathing? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We got to keep that focus outward and upward. Hallelujah. Pray for others. Serve others in the body of Messiah. Hallelujah. Brethren, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God, brethren, don't miss this. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, and the body as it hath pleased Him. Brethren, there is no job any more important than any other job in the kingdom. There's only one job that's important for any of us and all of us. Do what the King said to do. Everything is equal importance. Are we doing what the King wants us to do? Are we in Him? Do we know our call and duties in Him? Do we recognize His call upon others? Do we help? Do we supply? Do we assist? Do we serve others in their call and work in Messiah? Are we looking at this situation the way Jesus would look at it? Can we, the way Jesus did, see how the Father will be glorified in doing that for which we pray? Now, I know that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I also know that if I'm asking for something to gratify my lust, He will not hear me. And I also know that if I'm asking for something that is not in His will, the Lord is not going to hear that. But brethren, that still leaves a broad field. I know that if He hears my prayer, it's done. So the key is to develop this mind of Christ, to see clearly how that the Father would be glorified in Yeshua's name to do this miracle or that miracle, to begin to have our mind washed with the Word and renewed with the Holy Ghost so that we start taking every thought captive to the mind of Christ, so that we think the way Jesus did, so that we look at this world around us the way Jesus would look at it, and we'll start praying the way Jesus would pray, and we start seeing the results like Jesus saw that give glory to the Father. The Father is glorified to do miracles in the name of Yeshua. He wants to do them. And as we have our mind transformed by the washing of His Word and renewed by His Spirit to be conformed and take every thought captive to the mind of Christ, then we pray like Jesus did and we see results like Jesus did that glorify the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brethren, we need to hear the Holy Spirit confirming that indeed the Father would be glorified. Oh, brethren, that's what we need. We need to hear the Holy Spirit confirming that the Father would be glorified. See, this is when our faith grows from faith to faith. Now faith is what we need. See, we know that God has done great things. We know that God will do great things. But we need that now faith. He's the I Am. He's the God of the now. And we need that now faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. We need to be able to hear the Holy Spirit confirming that yes, indeed, the Father would be glorified. And you see, that's what faith really is. It's belief plus the Holy Ghost. We get that witness of the Holy Spirit that the Father would be glorified to do this thing. And that it is in His perfect will. See, we get to know the Word of God so that we know what the will of God is. He's revealed it to us. It's in His Word. And that, once we know it is in His will to be so glorified, and we get that witness of the Spirit that, yes, the Father would be glorified to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus, then if that witness of the Spirit is there, brethren, it's a slam dunk, done deal, and it don't make any difference if it's healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. It don't make any difference. Oh, brethren, powerful prayer has to do with being able to know God's will and to know how He may be glorified. Brethren, that's where it's at. That's where powerful prayer comes from. To be able to know what God's will is, and to be able to know by the confirmation of the Holy Spirit how He will be glorified. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, when we find that discernment of His perfect will and how He may be glorified, and we find it in the Bible. It's there. It's all written. All these things are written. All that pertains to life and godliness, it's written there. And we find that. We find that discernment of His perfect will and how He may be glorified when we read His Word. Brethren, we don't find that listening to some false teacher. We're not going to find that watching television. No, we ain't going to find it any place other than the Word of God. Verily, verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Grab hold of it, brethren. You're saints. You have been made priests and kings unto God. We're coming into that greater works time. We're coming to that exploit time. So let's stay in the battle with abiding joy. And let's buy from Yeshua all the gold of tribulation that He sets before us all the way till the end. Always knowing that when we're threatened with eternity, heaven is where we're going. Brethren, I look forward to seeing you guys on that last day. And then whoever's left here on this earth is going to fly or fry. Ain't no two ways about it. There's just one or the other. On that last day, you either fly or you fry. But otherwise, I hope to see all of you in that great company of real, true saints already underneath the altar. I don't know if we'll make it to the end. That's not the issue. It's not a matter of making it to the end of the Great Tribulation. It's making it to the end of that course which God has set before each of us. Be faithful. Be a God pleaser. Stay in the Word. And when in doubt, shout, blood of Yeshua. Blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. For the power of the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Well, brethren, we'll go on with this, but I think the right thing for us to do, you know, flatteries. We get corrupted by flatteries. Pastor Dow has a tremendous teaching. I know when he got it. I know the deep water God took him through so that he could receive that which he did receive. And it's about loving God with all our mind. And we need to know that. And we also need to fear of God. We need to firm up this foundation of the fear of God. So that's what we'll do. We'll go to the fear of God. And then we'll listen to that message that Pastor Dow has on flattery. And we'll get back and we'll look more at this positional authority that we have in Christ, this mystery of the ages. Brethren, it's much more important for us now to learn this mystery of the ages, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I mean, all of us know enough. You know, we could always learn some more, but we know enough about the mystery of the iniquity. The time is short now, and now it's much more important, I believe, to learn about the mystery of the ages, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we cannot continue and press on to look into this mystery of the ages unless we keep shoring up and firming up that foundation of the fear of God, because otherwise we're going to crash and burn. So we're going to take a look at that, and then we'll also look at that fantastic message that God gave to Pastor Dow about flattery and how to love God with all our mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.